So may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. So our scripture reading this evening is not from the NRSV or a modern translation at all. In fact, I have no idea what translation it is from because it comes from a really old book. The only reason I know anything about this book, though, is because there was once a little Renee who almost failed fifth grade. There was a lot going on in my life while I was 9 years old. My parents were getting a divorce. I was a weird, queer kid, and I was acting out at school. Part of it was because I was being bullied, but I don't know if y'all know this about me yet, or maybe you will. I do not back down. So I talked back a lot, and one day I hit back, and not just a push, but I full on punched a kid in the face. And I don't even remember what he said to me that made me lash out, but I certainly did. And so things were garbage at home, and things were even worse at school. And for my punishment, I was put in the elementary school library by myself. They put me in the religious section of the library, probably hoping to ward off any demons I clearly had. And I picked up this book. Not this exact book, but I did go hunting for it later on in life. I liked the cover art when I first picked it up. Something Taylor mentioned earlier too. But I also liked what was inside of it, and I thought at the time that it was poetry. But the wisdom of our scripture, it goes back further than the authors could have really ever known. So anthropologist Margaret Mead is credited to have claimed that the first real sign of civilization is in a healed human femur that is 15,000 years old. And she believed that while pots, tools, and religious artifacts tell us what people were up to, it is in the healed bones that they know that a person was tended to. And someone had to go out and hunt for them and had to keep them safe. She says that a broken femur in those days should have been a death sentence, but it is in those bones that they find the earliest tool that humans had, the care for one another. If you think about it, how scary it is to be either one of those humans during this time. So relying on someone for your well-being, that's pretty scary. But also knowing that someone's survival depends on how you care for them, well, that's also scary. Is this what it means then to be civilized? You know, how can you ever really know that you can rely on someone? So another really cool tool that our brains have acquired in the thousands of years of civilization is our need to categorize information immediately. We label it as good or bad news. We immediately tell a story as to why something happened and how that story fits neatly into our own lives. It's incredibly fast how we do it too. In her book, When Good Things Fall Apart, the ordained Buddhist nun Pema Chodron says, letting there be room for not knowing is the most important thing of all. When there's a big disappointment, we do not know if that's the end of the story. It may just be the beginning of a great adventure. Life is like that. We don't know anything. We call something bad. We call it good. But really, we just don't know. So, do we live in chaos? An anarchy where we can't rely on anything? No. In fact, I think if someone from 15,000 years ago saw how much we relied on traffic lights and just walking around cars, I think it would send them into a coma. Mm-hmm. And while we don't know what's going to happen, we're not crossing the streets hyper-vigilant, dodging cars, mostly. But we do have faith. And that's a small example, right? But let's try another one. What about labor unions and strikes? When they stand together, they're able to make big changes. But as anyone who has ever been involved in a movement will tell you, it's scary. You have to rely on others around you to support you. You have to be willing to say, I don't really know what's going to happen. And that's okay, because I have the support and encouragement from this group behind me. It leverages what makes us civil against that which has dehumanized us. It opens pathways to fruitful ways of being, and it is scary. You know, some of us who have been let down by those who we trusted and relied upon might find this ability to rely on others a little harder. You know, little Renee definitely did. But remember how I said I like to talk and even fight back? I was learning the hard way how to lean into my discomfort. Because my queerness, you know, because of it, I get to see a lot of life through the lens of transition. It's true that when big changes happen, it means it's possible for big changes to happen. There's a meditation that I do when I find myself spiraling on a particular narrative and I'm feeling that like fearful, nervous energy. I lay down on the ground, and if I can be outside, that's really great, but if not, what is it that store-bought is fine? And instead of closing my eyes, what I do is I focus on a single spot above me, and I talk back to that spot. You don't really know what's going to happen. And any time that obsessive story wants to poke back up, tell that spot. You don't really know what's going to happen. And does that stop the story from happening? No, not always. But in the repetition, the you don't really know what's going to happen opens to the possibility of the you don't really know what's going to happen. And somewhere in the nuance of that language, it becomes okay. It's hard to have faith in God, in others, and sometimes ourselves. The groundlessness of life and its shifting can lead us, you know, all to fear when the ground becomes a little shaky. Our brains naturally send off all the alarm bells that we have been in this place of discomfort before. And we need to get out of it as quickly as possible. But what if I really don't know what's going to happen is a blessing? I think church is a place where we sometimes practice and learn how to be in intentional community with one another. It's a place where, you know, my queer 9-year-old self isn't exiled, but taught how to use that gift of breaking the rules and talking back appropriately without embodying violence. So friends, we are better together. Not just for our survival, not just to be civilized, but also because we all have our own spiraling little Rene stories that we bring with us, right? That get activated when the ground rumbles. When I'm with others, I'm reminded that they too have stories, and I don't really know what's going to happen. For that, I give great thanks for the not knowing and for the ways others encourage my faith in that time of not knowing. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
So friends, we share the sermon here at St. Lydia's. We'll spend a few moments in silent reflection. And when you hear a bell, you're invited to share a story or experience that was sparked by the sermon or the text. We share stories, not opinions or crosstalk, because Jesus told stories. Stories help us know one another. So we'll begin in silence.